Hi, Barbara Koppel. We are here at the Venice Film Festival to talk about your new film, Union Town. How do you feel to be here at Venice?
I'm loving every minute of it. It's so beautiful. You can look out, see the ocean, go for a swim. The people here are nice. Films are showing all the time, and I'm very happy to be here. And also very, very moved. My film is getting a world premiere. It's never been seen before in front of so many people from all over the world. It's very exciting. I'm very happy and nervous.
We are sitting here in a world-class hotel lounge, but this is not the sphere where you usually move, because you're all about workers' rights, which I really appreciate as somebody who's from underclass myself. I see so few authentic voices from the working class and from the underclass. Why do you think that is?
I grew up in a middle-class background, but all of my adult life is working class. And growing up in that background was really important for me, because I had parents who really loved me, who just took really good care of me. And if I had any problems or whatever, they'd have my back no matter what it was. It made me want to do things for other people, to be able to take risks, to help people. And I guess that's why I got into filmmaking, because I was so loved. I wanted to go out into the world and share that.
Your films are often about social activism and the fight for equality, for justice, for an open society where everybody has a chance. Like, one of your most well-known films is literally called American Dream. What did attract you to those subjects, which also inform your newest film, Union Town?
When I heard about what was happening in Harlan County, it was the first film I did by myself. I had done films with a collective called Winter Soldier, which was about Vietnam veterans giving testimony of war crimes that they committed and things like that. I heard it on NPR that there was going to be an election in the coal fields, that this guy, W.A. Tony Boyle, was running against Arnold Miller. And I went and I started filming because I wanted to see what would happen. Tony Boyle was found to be convicted of murder, of setting up the murder of Joseph Yablonsky and his wife. Yablonsky was running against him, and Miller was just a coal miner out of the coal mines wanting to be there for justice. And one of his promises was unorganized. I wanted to see if he would keep his promise. I went to Harlan County, which was on strike, and to see what he would do. That's sort of how it started.
Now, your news film Union Town is about the strikes and the protest movement of the gig workers, the delivery app workers,
yeah.
Those guys that work for Foodora, Uber Eats, and how all these apps are called, and the Amazon workers, of course, like notoriously underpaid. How did you get in contact with these unions, and how did you win their trust?
I knew that UPS was, their contract was up. There'd been a union, or the Teamsters have been a union for 100 years with UPS, United Parcel Service. I filmed what was happening there. They didn't go on strike, and people voted to have the right to go with the contract, higher wages. But still, some people weren't given what they should have been given. This person who worked, Dexter, the guy who sleeps in his car, he just split shift, or part-time workers, that kind of thing. They didn't get enough. And so there were people that fought against it, but they still passed it. The Teamsters then went to Amazon. Amazon wanted the Teamsters to support them, so they voted for them to be the representatives. So sort of the workers led me from one thing to another. So I filmed at Amazon what was happening there, which is a lot. My husband, who is a professor, had a woman in his class named Lethea. And Lethea started a project called the Workers' Justice Project. And she's the one who co-founded that with another woman named Adira. And they were for the deliveristas and for the women who were immigrants. Many of them are not citizens, to help them out. That's how it all started.
How long did you shoot, and how much material did you have?
I worked on this film editing and shooting for 3.5 years, almost 4. I had the most incredible editors imaginable, who were really so much a part of the story, and great producers and DPs who really cared about the subject. It was great. It was a really wonderful experience.
Was it hard to condense this material to the length of a feature film?
Yes, it was very hard, because I was dealing with 3 different stories. Our biggest thing with the editors was, how do we weave these stories together to be able to have an audience understand that, okay, now we're at UPS, now we're at Amazon, now we're at the deliveristas. And we came up with having Cree present events. And we showed at the beginning each one of them, what their hopes were, what their dreams were. When you saw what they were doing, you would know who they were.
Your film is coming out in a moment in U.S. history when conservatism and right-wing ideology seems stronger than ever. What does this mean for you to bring this film right now?
People don't understand what unionism is all about. I mean, people go and deliver things to your house and you don't even know what they look like. For the deliveries is your number, say 21 or something like that, and you can get fired. It just shows on your phone. You're gone. You can't talk to anybody. Amazon, there's union busting. They pay $26 million for union busting. There's a big turnover. So even if you're in there and you're struggling to get a union together, people leave. It's 150% turnover. I think that if people learn who these people are, how hard they work, that they're not asking for much. They're asking for decent pay. They're asking to have safety, and they're asking for respect. That maybe that will change somebody. Maybe somebody will go out on a picket line or march with them, give them a tip, talk to them about some things. That's what the hope is all about.
Were there moments when you were worried about your safety or the safety of the people around you?
No. I think when you're in the midst of doing something, you're just so focused on what's happening. I wasn't afraid. In Harlan County, it was a little different because people lived and died by their guns, and guns were legal. I was beaten up and stuff like that. You can see me. So the gunshots were coming across the bridge, and I thought, okay, I've brought these people here, and I also did sound, and I walked forward, and I was down and kicking me, but it didn't hurt because I had a Nagra from here to here, and it didn't hurt. I was swinging my mic, and cameraman, they knocked his lens out, so we had to gaffer tape it back together again, and the woman who was doing lights, they shot the lights out. That was much more scary because they came after us. And there's so many more news crews. I was not afraid.
What was the biggest challenge when shooting the film?
To be able to keep going, to raise money, to have somebody believe in us. Also to make sure people would understand.
What would you think would have to happen for U.S. society to turn things around and to find maybe a more democratic and social way of politics?
What happened in the film is that the women who started the Workers' Justice Project worked for years to get minimum wage for the deliveristas. The deliveristas could just be fired, and they got the city council to vote. They could work 120 days if they were going to be fired, and they could appeal. And to see this organization that had so little do so much gave me the sense of change and that kind of hope.
You also put a special focus on workers with an immigrant background who fight especially hard. Were you also worried about them, or were they worried that they maybe could attract attention and then get deported?
They're always worried about being deported because of ICE. But what was more important to them was to be able to tell their story. I mean, if we live like hidden and pillow over our head or the covers over our head and you never say anything, you never get anywhere. That kind of silence destroys you. Like the guy from UPS, Tony Rosario, in teaching his kids, he got all this kindling wood, tried to break all the pieces, and he couldn't. And then the one piece he could. That was wonderful that they wanted to speak about it and they wanted to come out about it so that the world would know what was happening. I mean, here I am in Venice. People from all over the world are going to be able to see this film, and that's pretty wonderful.
So if you could wish for one thing for this film, what would it be?
That people would never be silent about the things that they see are wrong and will not be afraid to speak up and to do something and to be in solidarity with other people, work as hard as they can to change lives.
You made some of your most well-known and prominent films in the 80s, in the 90s. There was an age of a lot of activist documentary cinema. This seems now more rare. Do you see a new wave of activist cinema?
Yes, I think a lot of people, even here, Laura Poitras and Rachel have done a film about ICE, a short film, but very compelling. We're all doing, and Julia has done a film, and we're all doing a lot of work, and we're not going to stop.
And it's a lot of female directors.
Of course.
Why, of course?
Because we're dedicated. We want to do it, and we're not afraid of getting hurt. We're not afraid of people. We just want to learn what's happening union put it out there.
You have been making documentary films, or a lot of other projects like for YouTube and all kinds of projects, and not just documentary films, for more than like 40 years, I think now. So are you ever tired?
No. Do I look tired?
No, you have a lot of energy. I wonder, where do you get it from?
Because I love what I'm doing and I want to continue and work as long as I can, keep doing the work that I care about.
The people in the film, are you still in contact with them? And do you in general keep in contact with the subjects of your films?
As much as possible, yes. In Harlan County, a lot of them have passed away, but their granddaughters have called me, and the end of October, I'm going to be showing Harlan County in Harlan County. Yes. And American Dream in Harlan County showed in 22 cities in New York in May. Lots of relatives and families of the people who were in the film came, and I'm really excited.
So did you screen the film with them, and how do they feel about what they see?
They loved it. There was their grandfather, their father, doing something, and they could understand what it was all about, that they had this in their family. And when you have something good in your family, that someone stands up for what they believe in, that gives you the confidence to do something wonderful in your own life.
This is something that I ask a lot of documentary filmmakers. So yeah. We live in this age of AI. Are you worried about the ability of AI to manipulate the truth, or about the ability of people to use AI to manipulate the truth?
There's not too much I can do about it, except to continue doing what I'm doing and making films that I hope are as truthful as they can possibly be. I think that has happened, and it will happen, just like many people are going to lose their jobs because of robots. Have to keep exposing things.
That is actually what this was leading up to, that your film shows this dystopic.
Yes.
Some people will say it's utopic, but I think it's dystopic ending where robots are doing the work. What could possibly go wrong?
A lot.
How real is that scenario? And then also that the fact that politics seem to endorse that?
It's real. A lot of factories have closed and they're using robots. I think it's very real.
And do you think that robots will be like a new industrialization?
It could be. All I know is that I want to keep doing films about people who are really working hard and showing what they're doing. I can't get into that life.
Do you have to, at the moment, have a new project you're working on?
I have a lot of ideas of what I want to do, but I just finished this film 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to see what people think about it and maybe go to a few festivals like this one and hope that people like it.
Do you have a theatrical release lineup?
Oh, no, I don't. It's just brand new. I didn't show it to people yet.
Do you hope that documentary comes back to the cinema?
I think it will.
Then fingers crossed, and thank you so much for this interview, Barbara Koppel.
Thank you.